Hello friends, this is Doug Batchelor. How about an amazing fact? On January 10, 1954, a British-built de Havilland Comet, one of the first commercial jet airliners, tore apart in midair and went down in the Mediterranean Sea, killing all 35 passengers and crew. Then, two other comets mysteriously crashed in similar disasters. Engineers eventually discovered the poorly designed square windows were a fatal error. Stresses and fatigue were concentrated around the sharp corner points of the windows, and over time, the plane fuselage cracked, causing a catastrophic loss of pressure and many deaths. All commercial airlines now have rounded windows. Friends, you know, the Bible says too much stress and fatigue can also make people crack and fall apart. Stay with us, we're going to learn more as Amazing Facts brings you this edition of Bible Answers Live.
Welcome to Bible Answers Live with author and evangelist Pastor Doug Batchelor. Is understanding God's Word a challenge? Are there passages of Scripture that are a mystery to you? Maybe it's difficult to reconcile what you've read in the Bible to what you've always believed. If you have Bible-related questions, stay tuned to get honest, practical answers straight from the Word of God on Bible Answers Live. Bible Answers Live is a production of Amazing Facts Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Our lines are open, so call us now at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, here's your host, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
You heard the number, and if you want to call in with your Bible question, we do have lines open one more time. 800-GOD-SAYS, 800-463-7297. Welcome to Bible Answers Live. If you're tuning in for the first time, this is a live, international, interactive Bible study, and you can participate by listening as we search the Word together, or if you have a Bible question you would like to call in, 800-463-7297. Lines are open. My name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross. Good evening, listening friends, and Pastor Doug, as usual, let's begin the program with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you that we have this chance to open up the Word and study. We ask your blessing upon this program. Be with those who are listening, Lord, and guide us into a fuller understanding of your Word, the Bible. Thank you, Lord, and we commit this in your keeping in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Doug, you opened the program by talking about, well, several air disasters, all by the same manufacturer of a particular type of airline or aeroplane. And they discovered that it's the shape of the windows that were really causing a lot of the problem. Who would have guessed?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. I'm sure that engineers can explain it in more detail. But the square windows, it just all of the vibration and stresses seem to focus fatigue on the corners. Mm. Where when they had a round window, and that's probably why God makes eggs round. They're so durable that way. But the round window, they just didn't have that problem. And unfortunately, it took three of these planes having some kind of catastrophic decompression up there and basically fell apart, cracked from these corners in the windows before they really realized what the problem was. And now all the aircraft have got the rounded windows. But as we mentioned, people can fall apart too from too much stress. And, you know, even Jesus, after spending a day teaching and healing and ministering to people, he said to the disciples, Mark 6:31, "Come aside by yourselves into a deserted place," meaning a wilderness spot, "and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. You know, as they say, you can't burn the candle at both ends for very long. And God designed an oasis in time, and it's part of the creation story, where he wants us to get that rest that helps us recover from the stresses of life. And it's called the Sabbath. I bet most people don't know that six of the leading causes of death in the United States, namely heart disease, cancer, lung ailments, accidents, cirrhosis of the liver, and suicide, are all related to stress. Someone else said between 75 and 90% of all physician office visits are attributed to stress-related ailments or complications, according to the American Psychological Association. Not to mention what they say it does to families. That's why the Lord wanted us to have that place to sort of round out our week and take care of those stress and the fatigue that just comes with everyday living. And every week on the Sabbath, we're to have that rest to recharge our batteries and to Also, sort of calibrate our spiritual compass back with God. And maybe you'd like to know more about how you can discover that blessing that God has put in a day of rest. We have a free offer that talks about that tonight.
We have a book called Why God Said Remember. We'll be happy to send it to anybody who calls and asks. Again, the book is called Why God Said Remember, and the phone line for our free resource is 800-835-6747. Again, that number is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the book Why God Said Remember. We'd be happy to send that to anybody who calls and asks. Well, Pastor Doug, I think we're ready to go to the phone lines, and we have Josiah, who is listening on from Texas on online. Josiah, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. How can we help tonight?
I basically have a question about entertainment. I've read and watched a couple of sermons on like holy living as far as like A Voice in the Wilderness and A Love That Transforms.
Uh-huh.
I agree with most of it, except I'm wondering a little why we should sound fanatical about entertainment if it's possible that, you know, it doesn't make us sin or it's fictional, like we're not watching Gladiator like it happened back then, or sermons can actually be preached on how you can actually find God in movies, and I can actually find myself being a good witness with it and get close to people I'm trying to share the gospel with and use related parables and stuff. I remember Jesus said, you know, if your eye causes you to sin, then you can cast it off, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So it's like, I don't think we should be afraid of watching, for example, Harry Potter or whatever has a good overall message and just enjoy it for what it is right now, like sugar and
candy. Wait, you need to put this into a question. It sounds like you're making a statement.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, basically, like, that's my question. Like, I guess why sound fanatical, I guess, about whatever has an overall good message, if possible, you know?
Well, we have no problem with a good message. If there's a video or a DVD, I guess nobody has VHS tapes anymore, that has, something positive that meets the biblical criteria of whatever things are just and noble and true and good, it says think on these things. But if it's a sin, in other words, if a person can sin in their heart, why would you want to watch something where people are being killed or people are committing adultery and vicariously participate in your mind with things that you know that Jesus wouldn't approve of? I mean, it'd be hard for me to say this is a great witnessing opportunity. Let's go watch people get shot together. Or you see what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that there's never a time where there's anything good that might be produced by Hollywood, though it is rare. And there have been some good things that have come out. But the vast majority of entertainment just has a problem passing the criteria where, you know, David says, I'll set no evil thing before my eyes. So that's, you know, of course, I think you're referencing a sermon that, I delivered 14 years ago. In New York, but it's still the principle's still the same.
Okay,
Did you ever take a look at our lesson on that subject? We've got a study called "A Voice in the Wilderness." There's a study that goes with that. I don't know if you've read that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just sounded like, you know, it might be like, whoa, okay, you know, it sounds like, you know, Amish kind of a thing.
Well, you know, compared to. Probably compared to what the world is doing today, I think Bible Christians, if you're really trying to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and feed your mind on those things that are good and do what Jesus would do and watch what Jesus would watch, you're probably going to seem like a fanatic. And, you know, Jesus said, there are things that are highly esteemed among men that are an abomination to God. There are things the world's going to think, oh, this is great, nothing wrong with that. And God says, you know, I have a different perspective. So, yeah, I suppose Christians probably do look straight-laced compared to what the world does for entertainment.
We have a study guide dealing with the subject of character development and how we need to watch and be aware of what we allow to come into our minds and our hearts. It's called A Love That Transforms, an amazing fact study guide,
study.
And we'll be happy to send this to anyone who calls and asks. The number again is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the study guide called A Love That Transforms. You can also read it for free online at amazingfacts.org. We have Nicholas, who is listening from Kansas City, Missouri. Nicholas, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Pastor Doug and Pastor Ross.
Evening.
I have a question. did Jesus accept tithe? And if my life was my ministry and I didn't have another income, could I accept tithe?
Well, I think, first of all, the principle of giving tithe, if you're giving it to yourself, it sort of ceases to be giving. You know, even my family, we're involved in a full-time ministry, but I think that it's dangerous for us just to give to our ministry. And so Karen and I look for other ministries. We know other ministries will give to us. You kind of have to give away from yourself. Now, your first question, did Jesus accept tithe? There's no record.
Yes.
Pastor Ross might correct me, but there's no record that I know of where it says that Jesus specifically got tithe. People gave offerings to Jesus' group, and you know Judas kept the offering bag. We know about that. Whether any of that was tithe, I don't think there's any record in the Bible that it was. But we have a lesson on tithe and what the Bible says about it and who should receive it and who should not. If you like, we can send you a free copy of that, Nicholas.
Okay, that'd be great. But I guess my question further was, if someone was sending me tithe, would that be acceptable?
Well, if you're involved in a full-time Christian ministry, I thought you said something about paying yourself tithe. If you're doing a ministry that meets the biblical criteria of tithe, well, then that's there's no problem with that.
Okay.
But I would be careful about paying yourself tithe, because that could kind of get into a cycle of, you know, the whole idea of tithe and offerings is to give away from yourself. It's none of us
right.
have a problem giving to ourselves. It kind of comes natural. So it starves selfishness in our hearts and it increases our faith when we give away from ourselves. But hey, I appreciate your question, Nicholas, and we'll send you that study guide on In God We Trust.
The number to call is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the study guide called In God We Trust. We're better send it to anybody who calls and asks. Our next call is Patricia, and she's listening from Portland, Oregon. Patricia, welcome to the program.
Yes, good evening, pastors. I'm going to get right to the question. I'm looking at Psalms 25, and I told the other gentleman that I spoke with that I was asking about verse 14, but I'm actually asking about verse 10 and 14 because they seem related. Verse 10 of Psalm 25 states, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." So my question is, what is his covenant and what are his testimonies? And then 14 says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant." So again, the covenant word. But in this verse, I'm interested in knowing, what is the secret of the Lord? What does that mean?
All right, verse 10. Yeah, I appreciate your question, Patricia. The Bible talks about the covenant that God made. Well, there's several covenants, but the principal covenant that you find David talking about was the Ten Commandments. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Pastor Ross, that's in Deuteronomy 4. Says, "Then he gave them his covenant, which he commanded them to perform, even 10 commandments, and wrote them on two tables of stone." And then later, you know, we're living now under the new covenant, which is not the 10 commandments written on stone, but the Bible says a new covenant is, "I will write my law on their hearts." So he puts that same law, but it's the motivation comes from the heart. Testimonies included all of the other laws. And, you know, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible is Psalm 119. Just take a pencil sometime, go through Psalm 119 and circle all the times it talks about the testimonies of God and the laws of God. And it's a beautiful psalm on that subject. But so he's talking about the rules that guide our life in a nutshell. And so the second part of your question, I think, was about verse 14. "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant." Well, if the new covenant is God writes his law in our hearts, and people out there might be thinking, why would David be talking about the new covenant? He's in the Old Testament. The first time you hear about the new covenant is the Old Testament. Jeremiah, Ezekiel both talk about writing his law in our hearts. Moses, way back in the Ten Commandments, Moses said he wants to put his law in our hearts. And so that really always was the covenant. And he reveals the secret of the Lord to those who fear him. He will show them his covenant, the law of the Lord written in the heart. I don't know, Pastor Ross, you got anything to add to that?
You know, we got a study guide dealing with the subject of the Ten Commandments and how those principles can be applied to our lives. The law can be written upon yes. the heart. It's called Written in Stone, and we'll be happy to send that to Patricia or anybody who calls and asks. The number to call is 800-835-6747, and you can ask for the study guide called Written in Stone. Again, the number is 800-835-6747. And our free study guide is called Written in Stone. We'll be happy to send that to anybody who calls and asks.
I appreciate your question, Patricia.
We have Bill, who's listening from Toronto, Canada. Bill, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Okay. What does that mean? And there's still teachers out there teaching that we have to confess and repent every sin or we'll be condemned. So how do these two line up?
All right, you're talking about, let me just make sure I've got it right, 2 Timothy 2:13, evil men and...
If we are faithful.
Are we talking about evil men and seducers will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived?
Is that first or second?
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, I had the wrong verse. If we are faithful, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So are you wondering, does this mean that it doesn't matter whether we have faith or not?
Right, because other teachers are teaching that unless we confess every sin and repent of every sin, we will perish.
Well, first of all, not everybody can remember every sin. So, you know, we do need to repent and confess. The first words of Jesus when he began his ministry was repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the first words of John the Baptist were repent. And Peter, when he started his sermon at Pentecost, he said, repent, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So repentance is humbling ourselves, and then God cleanses us. We come to the Lord, we humble ourselves, and he lifts us up. And that's in the book of James. And it does say in, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 6, Pastor Ross, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God, no, it's Hebrews 11, verse 6. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him.
Yes, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6.
So, you know, we can't say that what Paul is saying here in 2 Timothy is God doesn't care whether we have faith, because everything else in the Bible, Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible.
Actually, the verse just before that in verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. So there is a degree of endurance, that is faith and trusting.
Yeah, and he obviously doesn't want us to deny him. And then John 3:16, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now,
so I attended a church that I was in the, I divorced a woman and was living common law with another woman, and then we came to Christ. And they said if we stayed together, we would perish. So that's wrong?
Well, you're going to marry the woman that you're with? Is that what they were asking?
Well, no, we were living common law when we both accepted Christ. But they said they accept no divorce and remarriage. They accept divorce, but no remarriage. Anybody who remarries will perish.
No, that's not biblical, because you've got examples in the Bible of people like... David, who, you know, his marriage to Bathsheba certainly started as adultery. And it says that God said to David, you know, you took Uriah's wife, but later when David repented, it says he comforted his wife. And God continued to speak through David and give him psalms. You have Jesus revealing himself to the woman at the well, and he said, go call your husband. He said, oh yeah, you've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now you're not married to. Well, obviously... He then reveals to her he's the Messiah. So she's going to be saved, even though she had a pretty scrambled marital background. So the idea that these marriage problems, divorce and remarriage, becomes the unpardonable sin, the Bible doesn't teach that. Is it sin? Yeah, adultery is sin. Divorcing without biblical grounds is sin. And I would hope whoever you're married to now, you'd want to be legally married to them. So, you know, you start where you're at.
Okay, so maybe I missed your answer. So when we're faithless, he remains faithful.
Yeah, but I just want to make sure you're not reading into that verse something that isn't there. God isn't saying he doesn't care whether or not we're faithful.
Right, so does a homosexual who continues to be a homosexual or an adulterer, or people sleeping outside of marriage, do they get condemned? Because clearly it says there, if we're faithless, he remains faithful.
Well, let me give you let me answer with a verse. If you read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, it says, if we continue to sin willfully after we've received a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin. So if a person knows God's will and they're going to continue to live in high-handed rebellion against the will of God, they can't claim forgiveness for deliberate sin. Now, there'll be people that are forgiven for all kinds of things because God winks at our ignorance. But when we know what God wants and we just say, well, I don't care, you're going to be faithful whether I'm faithful or not, and I'm just going to continue sinning, well, that's rebellion against God. That is dangerous. So, hey, you know, there's a book, and don't let this title scare you, Bill. There's a book we'll send you for free, and it's called Is It Possible to Live Without Sinning? Don't let the title scare you. It really is a good, comforting book, and it's filled with scripture, and I think you'll find that interesting. Appreciate your call.
The number to call is 800-835-6747. That is the resource line. You can ask for the book, Is It Possible to Live Without Sinning? We'll be happy to send that to anybody who calls and asks. And friends, you can also read that for free online at amazingfacts.org. Our next call is David, listening from Willits, California. David, welcome to the program.
Ooh, can you hear me?
On the air.
All right. Okay, so I've been doing a little bit of Bible study in here, and I see, and I know a little bit about this abomination, the desolation that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, verse 15, you know, where it says, therefore, when you see the abominations of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Okay, I got that. And if I understand it rightly, that's something that he was dealing with in, Daniel was dealing with in Daniel chapter 9, right? Is that correct? Where Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, I think he speaks about this time of Jerusalem in the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate.
Well, there, until the constant. You do have that, yes, in Daniel 9:27. He also refers to it in Daniel 11:31. It says the abomination that makes desolate, and then in Daniel 12, verse 11. And it doesn't use abomination of desolation specifically, but you find the same principle in the prophecies of Daniel 7 and 8 also. So Daniel talks about this power that would desolate God's people in several chapters. That's why Jesus said, as written by Daniel, and Jesus doesn't give a specific verse because it's a theme all through Daniel.
What I got a question about is in verse 11 on chapter 12, it says, and from the time that the daily sacrifices is taken away and the abominations of desolation is set up. Now, this is the thing I'm confused about. There shall be 1,290 days, and then verse 12 says, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. I've never heard anybody talk about these two time prophecies, and so I'm trying to figure out where does that fit in all this time plan with
all right.
Daniel. And
I'm so glad you asked, David. Now, you asked a question about the chapter in the Bible that has more time prophecies than any other chapter. In the typical 3 minutes we try to budget for a question, we're not going to be able to cover it, but we will send you.
That.
No, we will send you a magazine called, okay. It's a study on Daniel and the Revelation, and it does address the 1290, 1260, and 1335 days of Daniel chapter 12.
Oh, good.
And so we'll be happy to send you a magazine that has it. I think it's even charted in the magazine. And it's our magazine on Daniel and Revelation.
To receive that, you'll need to give us a call at 800-835-6747. You can ask for the magazine on Daniel and Revelation. I believe you can also read that for free online at amazingfacts.org.
It's not online yet.
It's not online. Okay. Probably the best thing, give us a call on the resource line, and we'll be able to get that to you, David, or anybody wanting to study further. Not only about this subject in Daniel chapter 12, but also the book of Revelation. It's also included in that.
Mm-hmm.
Our next call is Al, listening from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Al, welcome to the program.
Yes. Can you hear me?
We do. Al from Albuquerque. Thanks for calling.
Yes. How are you, Pastor Doug and Pastor Ross? How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing great.
Great, great. Praise the Lord. I was night before last day or a few nights ago, I got up and read some scriptures, and I called it the three seeds. And one is Deuteronomy 5:29, the other one is John 14:21, and the other one is Revelation 22:14.
And so you have questions about those three scriptures?
No, it's just that they are so clear that I can't understand why other people can't understand that. But to me, in Deuteronomy, of course, it says, that there should be such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep
all
my
commandments
always,
that it might be well with them and their children.
Right,
yep.
Forever. And the other one is 14:21. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he is the one who loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself unto him. That's already the New Testament. And then, of course, the last one is 22:14. Everybody knows that one about, blessed are they who keep my commandments, for they will have the right to eat from the tree of life.
And enter through the gates of the city.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So
yes.
I guess your point is, it's not so much a question, but you're just making the point that God's word really does say it. The commandments, if we love him, we'll keep his commandments.
From the Old Testament all the way through the New.
Yeah, it is a clear truth. That's why, you know, I wonder why people struggle with that. And all the commandments God wants us to obey are for our good. He's not asking us to do anything. It's like a parent that loves their children. Says, look, I love you. Don't play in the street. You know, I love you. Don't stick that screwdriver in the electric socket. And there are commandments because the parents love the children and they want the children to live. And so, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And blessed are those that keep his commandments. God says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And Jesus said, think not I have come to destroy the law. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And it'd be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one jot or one tittle to in any way pass from the law till all is kept. And so, yeah, this is... That's a principle that you're going to find. Al, it sounds like you would enjoy that lesson that we offered earlier, if you haven't read it already, talking about written in stone, dealing with the subject of the law of God. And you can get that by calling 800-835-6747. You're listening to Bible Answers Live.
Bible Answers Live will return in just a moment. If you're looking for Bible-based materials for further study, sign up for Amazing Facts' free Correspondence Bible Study course, or check out our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry, operating exclusively through the generosity of your prayers and financial gifts. We would love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California 95678, or online at amazingfacts.org. You're listening to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. If you have a Bible-related question, call us now to receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. We have a few lines open, so please give us a call. The phone number to the studio is 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297.
If you've enjoyed Bible Answers Live, you'll love Pastor Doug's Book of Bible Answers. Straight from the broadcast, the very best questions and answers have been compiled as an awesome resource for Bible study and personal evangelism. Each answer has been expanded with more Bible verses and insightful commentary. The Book of Bible Answers can be yours today for just $12. Call now 1-800-835-6747 and request offer 257. That's 1-800-835-6747.
We're back listening, friends. We're going to take more Bible questions in just a moment, but something has to happen first. You need to call in with your questions. We got lines open. Are you ready? 800-GOD-SAYS. 800-463-7297. If you call now, good chance your question will be on tonight's broadcast live. One more time, 800-463-7297. Give us a call if you have a Bible-related question or a question relating to living the Christian life. We'll do our best to search the Word together. My name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross, and we have Charles, who is listening from Atlanta, Georgia. Charles, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Doing good. Thanks for calling.
Good. Thank you. As I was waiting, you know, we're talking about the subject question I wanted to ask, and I just want to get some clarification about the adultery and the marriage question. I was listening to a previous program, and the person on that program was very adamant about that. No matter what, if you married and either one was divorced for any reason other than adultery, that according to Scripture, you know, you were required to get a divorce and no longer, be in that marriage, because being in the marriage alone was still continuing in sin. My question was, in my case, on my first marriage was because of adultery by my ex-wife. My wife that I'm married to now, hers was not, that she knows of, but neither one of us were professed born-again Christians at the time that we got married. It was several years later that we both started, you know, attending church, and both of us were, baptized at the same time. So, and it's my understanding that that point on, that we start anew.
Exactly. You're new creatures. You didn't have that knowledge. It would be very impractical for preachers to tell people that, you know, pagans, unbelievers, come to the Lord and they're somehow supposed to go looking for their former spouses and through all the scrambled marriage things that happened. And no, you God meets you where you're at. And that's why I share the example of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. The Lord revealed himself to her. I seriously doubt she went looking for her first husband to marry him again. Who knows? He may have been remarried already. And so it's unrealistic to ask people to do that. Now, if people come to the Lord and they realize, hey, I'm living with someone I'm not married to, or they need to do that right. They need to, you know, be a witness, and you don't want to give people grounds for doubting your relationship with the Lord, and avoid the appearance of evil. And so people should get legally married. That's what we were sharing with a former caller. But yeah, you come to the Lord where you are, and he takes you where you are, and you get a new beginning. But once you know, the Bible says sin is not knowing. If we know what God wants, then we need to be living up to that.
You know, we have a book called Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage, what the Bible says about this, and we'll be happy to send it to you, Charles, or anyone wanting to learn more about this subject. The number to call is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the book called Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage.
Mm-hmm. That'll help. And thank you for your call, Charles.
Our next
caller, sir. Thank you, and God bless you and your ministry.
Appreciate it.
Our next caller is Tony, listening from Houston, Texas. Tony, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing better than we deserve. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. I had a question. I heard something about some people, and I don't want to mention names, but I believe in the book of Isaiah. It was a book of prophecy about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
I believe it's found in the book of Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. There's a saying now that people are taking around, saying that the stripes was for the spiritual and not for the physical. But I believe it both, physically and spiritually, that we are healed by those stripes that were on the back of Jesus Christ. Can you give light to this, or shed some light to this?
Well, the answer is found in verse 5 itself. And by the way, for those who missed it, this is Isaiah 53, a wonderful messianic prophecy about Jesus. It says, he was wounded for our transgressions. The wounds and the punishment, the beatings that Jesus received, he was taking our punishment. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment, that means for our peace was upon him. In other words, for us to be justified, he took our punishment. And by his stripes, that's his whipping, we are healed. So all of this goes together. The sufferings of Jesus, he took our penalty. Not only is the penalty for sin death, the penalty for sin is punishment and death. It's not just death. The punishment of for the lost is they are every man punished according to what they deserve, and they're thrown in the lake of fire, which is the second death. So Jesus suffered and died. And part of his suffering was being whipped. The way they refer to that in the Bible is stripes, because it would leave a stripe down a person's back when they were whipped. So am I answering what you're asking, Tony?
So pretty much it was for the physical and for the spiritual.
Yeah, we're spiritually, we receive spiritual forgiveness. Doesn't mean we have to go get whipped, but Jesus was physically whipped, and he took a punishment that we all deserve. You know, used to be in public when a person was being punished, they would flog them. They would either hit them with rods or whips, and he took that punishment we deserved. Not every sin required the death penalty. Even Paul, he says he was whipped 39 times, three times. He got 39 lashes, I think. And so that was one of the punishments for offenses that didn't require death, is various amount of lashes. And so it's just saying Jesus took our punishment. So we get spiritual and physical healing through that as well. When it says healing, we're healed from our sin. Some people receive physical healing as well, but this is not a promise that everybody's going to be physically healed. Because Paul was sick.
Because when I pray with somebody, myself, I always include, by his stripes we are healed. And when I hear it, because it was, just that, it only means spiritually.
Yes.
And it just like, it was like, mind-boggling, why would you believe something like that? Why not also believe it for the physical?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, Pastor Ross and I believe in physical miraculous healing as well. I don't know
right.
that means that every person that prays his prayer, that it's going to be the, you know, magic bullet that's going to heal all diseases, or a pill. But I do believe that Jesus, through his sufferings, bought the right to physically heal as well. And he
right.
often does. But, you know, if you live long enough, you'll get sick of something that will kill you.
Right.
So, you know, sin, the penalty of sin is we get old and die. But, you know, he wants to prolong our tranquility. Hey, appreciate your call, Tony. And thank you very much for your question.
We have Brian listening from Arkansas. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing yeah. well.
I have a question. I have trouble knowing that I am, you know, I mean, I've been saved. I believe that I am saved, you know, and I know that my Lord is justified to forgive us of all sin. But how can I still get these, like, you know, I still get this feeling like, am I truly saved? You know, I mean, because of my past sin. And,
yeah, you have some feelings of conviction. And
yeah, I worry, you know, about my salvation, and I know that the Lord, you know, he is just to forgive us of our sin when we confess and we repent and truly are, you know, I'm sorry. But why do I feel sometimes that, you know, am I a true child of God, you know?
Well, you know, it's not wrong. It's not wrong to examine yourself. And I think you'll find if in the first, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. It's appropriate every now and then to just do a check. I mean, when we're talking about eternity, just say, Lord, I don't want to be one of those that says, Lord, Lord, and doesn't really know you. And it's like David prayed that prayer, search me and try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. And so God wants us to live with peace and confidence, but it's a good idea to, you know, check the rearview mirror every now and then and to make sure that, you know, you're going straight and following the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So feeling
I
a conviction that now if the devil is convicting you about sins you've already repented of and asked God to forgive you for and you've turned from, well, that's just the devil trying to take away your peace. Because if God forgives you, you can't set yourself up at a higher tribunal than that of God.
Because I've done, you know, some bad things in my past, and I've turned from all that now, and I'm trying to live, you know, I'm trying to live like He would want me to live, you know. And now, you know, I try to read as much as I can, but sometimes I don't get to read the Bible every day. I know I should read the Bible every day, and I've been struggling. That's one of my struggles. I'm an over the road truck driver.
Well, you know, and, you might try. Yeah, I was just I did a long distance drive this week, and I've got the Bible on. I don't know if anybody still has CD players. Everything is MP3, but I've got the old CDs of Alexander Scorby reading the King James Version in my car, in my truck, and I stuck it in there, and I listened to, I listened to the Book of Job twice, Nehemiah, and you know, it's great. You just drive along, you listen to it being read, you can pause it and think about it, back it up, and you may not be a prolific reader, but you can still feed on the Word. It's so convenient these days.
And you know, also, Brian, remember that the Bible tells us we need to walk by faith, not by sight. So it is good for us from time to time to examine ourselves and make sure that we're living surrendered to Christ. But on the other side, we also need to be faithful and believe that He is going to fulfill His word. Mm-hmm. If we confess our sins, the Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So having faith in His promise and taking God at His word is also something that we need to do. And don't get discouraged if you have these feelings of doubt. Just turn to God. Claim His promise, trust in Him, and move forward in faith.
My Lord, I know my Lord loves me. I know He loves me. But it's a constant battle, you know. I have one more question, if it's okay, if we're not too out of time.
Well, let's see if it's a big question or not.
No, it's not. I was just wondering. Me and my wife are separated, and and I don't know how we're not really, I don't know, we're just two different people, and I don't know what to do about it.
How long have you been married?
4 years, but I think we got married for the wrong reason. We weren't living according to God's will, and she got pregnant. And so by doing the right thing, I married her, and now we're separated because we're two different people. We weren't together very long when we first got together.
Did you go to a church together?
Well, I tried to go to church with her. She's kind of not wanting to go, and I want to. My daughter, she goes to church faithfully, and she's the one that got me back into church. And
I was just going to say the best thing to do is it's. You know, if marriage is a serious business, and if you're going to save or salvage a marriage, that's also, it's serious, and it requires some investment. It'd be good if you had a pastor somewhere that you'd both be willing to sit down and talk to. And, you know, I don't know where she's at on this, but, you know, the best thing you can do is, of course, be as attractive as you can be as a Christian husband. And if she's open to... It sounds like you said that she got pregnant. You have a child together, right?
But we got married because she got pregnant, and I wanted to do the right thing, and she miscarried the baby. But now, 4 years later, we can't get along because we didn't really know each other. We were living in sin as well. I mean, before we got married, and we barely knew each other when this happened, and. And so now we're separated because...
Well, the best thing, you know, I really recommend, Brian, that you try to find a local pastor you can counsel with. If she won't go, at least you go yourself. And that book that Pastor Ross offered a little earlier is really a good book, and it gives you some great Bible principles on what do you do when it comes to being a Christian when you're grappling with things like marriage, divorce, and remarriage. So we'll send you a free copy. I really recommend you ask for that and try and get some local counsel. 3 minutes with a pastor on the radio, you're going to need more than that.
The number to call is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the book Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. We'll be happy to send that to you, Brian, or anybody who calls and asks. We have Derek, who is listening in Pennsylvania. Derek, welcome to the program.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
My question actually somewhat relates to Brian's question that he just asked, or at least his second question.
Okay.
However, mine, on the other hand, my relationship with my ex yielded a child that we did not get married. And my child was born out of wedlock. And I guess my question is I've heard of the scripture, and I can't recall the exact verse, but mentioned as how because of my sin and committing to having a child out of wedlock, my descendants and several generations thereafter will not be allowed admission into the kingdom of heaven?
No. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. If a child is born out of wedlock, it does not present them. It does not prevent them from going to heaven. Jesus was conceived in a very unusual way, and it certainly is not going to prevent him. You have one of the judges of Israel. His name was Jephthah. He was illegitimate. It was not going to prevent him from being in the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, Solomon is the result of David's having stolen another man's wife. Solomon came from David and Bathsheba. It wouldn't prevent him from going to heaven. When it talks about the third and fourth generation in the Bible, it's talking about the influence of the parents. If the parents turn from God, their influence can influence their children for three or four generations away from God. And then he says in the next verse, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. By the way, that verse about three and four generations is in the Ten Commandments.
All right.
I believe it's the second
commandment. The one that I think of, I believe, is in Deuteronomy 27:3, maybe.
Deuteronomy 27:3.
I think that, and I'm going off of memory at the moment.
Well, we'll look real quick. And what does the verse roughly say?
I believe it was, as my question, it stated that, from my understanding, I believe it was 12 generations after a child was born out of wedlock.
You might be talking about... Yeah, I think you know what you're talking about. They had laws about people that could and could not enter into the assembly of the Lord, and they said the illegitimate could not enter in. That didn't mean that they couldn't come to the Lord or be saved, but there were some high criteria for those that were serving in the temple of the Lord.
You know, the Bible says that the child shall not bear the sins of the father, and the father... the sins of the child. So each person makes their own decision.
Ezekiel 18.
Correct. Yeah. Now, of course, the influence of a parent carries on from one generation to the next, but that's different than salvation.
Yeah.
All right. And I guess, what exactly are you referring to when you talk about the influence of the parent?
Well, you know, parents, of course, by their example, they can influence children. In idolatry, and that often is passed on. They learn bad habits. Those things we even know in our culture today that children of alcoholics are more disposed to have those problems. Children of abusive parents are more disposed to be abusive parents themselves.
The positive side, good Christian parents have a good influence on their children. Their children are more likely to follow the example of the parents in their faith and practice.
So I hope that helps a little bit. We appreciate your call, Derek. And that book that we offered a moment ago on marriage, I think, may also help answer that.
The number to call again is 800-835-6747. And the book is called Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. We'll be happy to send that to anybody who asks. We have Haley, who is listening online from Ontario, Canada. Haley, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Haley. Get close to the phone.
Close I am on to my phone.
Okay, great.
And your question?
My question is, It's found in the last book, which is in Revelation.
Uh-huh.
It talks about a beast from the sea. I mean the earth, my bad.
A beast that comes up out of the earth. That's in Revelation chapter 13, I think. Verse, is that 11? I saw a beast that, and a second beast that comes up out of the earth. Is that what you're wondering?
Yes.
You don't want to know what that beast is?
Yes.
It's the United States. The first beast in Revelation 13 is talking about apostate or corrupted Christianity in Europe. Its headquarters in Rome. And then the second beast comes up from a new land. That's coming up out of the earth. The other beast comes up out of the sea. And it represents the United States. Now, we've got a whole study about that. It's got pictures and lines and arrows, and it's a very interesting study. And it's called the U.S. in Prophecy. Would you like a free copy of that?
Sure.
The USA in Prophecy.
All you'll have to do is call our resource line, 800-835-6747. You can ask for this really interesting study called the USA in Bible Prophecy. Again, for anyone wanting to learn more about what does the Bible say about the United States? Is there anything interesting or significant about that? Well, take a look at the study guide. Again, that number is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the study guide on the U.S. in Prophecy.
You know, something I'm almost embarrassed to say, but I've typed my name into Google before. Actually, I typed my name into YouTube. I do it when no one's watching. But I was curious, because there's lots of Amazing Facts sermons and on YouTube, but one of the most popular sermons is the one about the USA in Prophecy. I was surprised by that. People are very interested in that sermon. There was like, 80,000 people had wanted to see that sermon.
Well, so, there you go. You can just go to YouTube, type in Doug Batchelor, U.S. in Bible Prophecy. Yep. I'm sure you'll be able to pull up that sermon.
I appreciate your call, Haley.
Thanks, Haley. We have Denver, who is listening from Detroit, Michigan. Denver, welcome to the program.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Oh, yes. My name is Deborah, and I'm calling because I have a question about my neighbor. We was talking, about God and everything, and he was telling me, and I want to see if you have any information on that I can explain to him that, he was telling me that the devil and Jesus had went to war and that Jesus lost.
Well, the Bible does say in Revelation chapter 12, there was a war in heaven, but it says that Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels. It says there was war in heaven, and the dragon and his angels were cast out. Now, your friend might be talking about when Jesus died on the cross, the devil probably thought temporarily he had somehow won a victory, but actually, when Jesus died without sinning on the cross, he said it is finished. He was talking about that through his death, the devil's kingdom was finished. So the idea that Jesus lost, that is not true. Jesus won that battle. And I'm wondering, what study do we have that talks about the war in heaven? Is that the one on the Bride of Christ? Or?
Well, I know the one on Is the Devil in Charge of Hell talks about the origin of Satan.
Yeah, that would be.
And the war in heaven.
Exactly.
And we'll send that to anybody calling and ask. Deborah, the number to call is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the study guide called Is the Devil in Charge of Hell? Again, 800-835-6747. As for the study guide, Is the Devil in Charge of Hell? We'll be happy to send that to you.
And I hope you enjoy that, Deborah. Appreciate your call.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you. God bless you. Yeah, take a look at that study guide. Anyone out there, if you want to know about why is there good and evil. Pastor Ross, we also did a video a couple of years ago that has been very widely seen. Matter of fact, it's been translated. It's in many other countries right now called Cosmic Conflict. And I bet somebody's probably already put that on YouTube.
That's what I was thinking. Yep.
So we'd be happy to sell them to you. I think they're only about $3 for the DVD now. But if you want to see the Cosmic Conflict, it explains the war between good and evil and why is there sin in this world, then you can go to AmazingFacts.com. Hey, if you haven't seen our website, our new website, by the way, it's .com or .org. Technically, it's .org. Just check it out, AmazingFacts.org. It's a good place also to click Contact Us. Tell us if the program's been a blessing. We'd love to hear from you personally. And if you can do something to keep us on the air, we're especially grateful. Talk to you, study together again next week.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program and join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor.
I grew up in a church-going family. I mean, we were at every meeting. I sang in four of the choirs there. I directed three. Very involved, very active. It almost seemed like busy work sometimes. You know, I went to Sunday school. I knew about God. I knew about Jesus. But I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. My senior year in high school, I got the news that my father had been murdered. I played it off well. No one really saw that I was struggling with it. It just really felt like there was a hole that needed to be filled. And I tried to fill it with drugs, with alcohol, with partying. After college, I just stopped going to church altogether. One day on a Sunday, because I didn't feel like going to church with my mom, I thought, you know, I should get a little bit of word. She had the satellite system hooked up, and I'm flipping through channels, and then the logo pops across, Amazing Facts Presents. I've listened to a lot of different ministers, but this was the first time that he's actually saying something where I had to grab my Bible and actually pick it up, and I've never heard this before. Let me look through and find this. I went through all the historicals, I went through all the study guides, and I just couldn't get enough. And then the Sabbath came up, and he's going through the appeal, and I'm just going, Lord, I hear you. I have to go to church. So I show up. It was funny. I didn't feel like I was going to be judged, anything judgmental, anything. And I walked in a door, and I just felt at home. But there's still a problem. I'm still partying. I was still going out to the bars. At this time, I was selling cocaine to pay my rent. 16 days later, I find myself in a life or death situation. I just came back from a liquor store and I grabbed a bottle of vodka. And there I am, high off cocaine, with my Bible in hand, trying to do a Bible study. And I heard an audible voice, just look at yourself. And I did. And I was like, what am I doing? And I got on my knees and I said, Lord, if you do not take this away from me now, I'm going to kill myself. I was going to continue this lifestyle and I was going to end up overdosing, having a heart attack, whatever it was. You have to take this away. All of it. And that day, he lifted all of it away from me. It was all gone. When God does something in your life, he does it complete.
For more than 45 years, the Ministry of Amazing Facts has been helping people from all walks of life understand their Bibles better than ever before. Through television, radio, and the internet, we impact countless lives each day around the world by sharing Bible truth that transforms lives forever. If you've been blessed by our programs, will you help share in this work with a tax-deductible gift today? When you support Amazing Facts, you give lasting hope and make it possible for others to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and experience His eternal love. To give a gift, call 1-800-891-7171. Once again, that's 1-800-891-7171. or go to donate.amazingfacts.org.